He could hear you, but it is very, it is really quiet.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining. We're currently having some minor technical issues. We're doing our best to resolve it as soon as possible. Just bear with us, please. Thank you very much.
Sharon, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm sure she can.
Good afternoon. And thank you for your attendance. I'd first like to address the agenda posting. There were issues preparing the agenda affecting submission time for the posting for a 2 p.m. meeting. Again, the meeting was originally scheduled for 2 p.m. Instead of canceling the meeting, we proceeded to push it back to 4 p.m. in good faith to not further delay the work of the committee. Regarding public comment, if you would like to submit a written public comment, you may submit written public comment by email. It's on the first page of the agenda. Send it to the JJCC admin address. Please put the name you would like to be addressed by, the agenda items you will be addressing. Likewise, for live public comment, you may submit a request to make live public comment by telephone. Again, you need to send an email to the JJCC email address, provide your name, the item numbers you'd like to address. If you are a meeting attendee, please provide the name you listed or the phone number you would like a JJC staff member to contact you. Okay, Mr. Bettino, would you like me to start with a roll call?
Sure. Good afternoon, everybody. We really appreciate your patience, all the back and forth with the agenda, as Jessica mentioned. So thanks for being with us. Yeah, let's go ahead and do roll call, Jessica.
Okay. Chief Deputy Adam Bettino.
Here I am.
District Attorney's Office. Okay, I'll come back to Ms. Blair. Juvenile Court.
Patricia's present.
Public Defender's Office.
This is Luis, I'm here, thank you.
Thank you. Department of Mental Health.
This is Karen Streich, good afternoon, I'm here.
Thank you. LA County Office of Education.
Jewel Forbes, I'm here.
Thank you. Department of Public Social Services. Okay, I'll get back. District 1, Mr. Ochoa.
Present, thank you.
District 2.
Present.
District 3.
Present.
District 4 is absent, excused. District 5.
Michael Dutton, present.
Okay, Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Great. I wasn't sure we were going to get there, but I appreciate that. Thank you very much to everybody again for joining us. I want to move us through these items. I'll stop along the way. And again, Jessica, stop me where I stumble through procedure and things like that. So welcome to the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Subcommittee, JJRBG Subcommittee. And again, thanks everyone for being here. We do have some updates to share. And so let me move us through. So that would be item 2, welcome and introductions. On to item 3, an old business. And I don't believe that we have any. Jessica, is that right? Hearing nothing, I'm going to move us on to item four, to new business. And the first update is update on the implementation of JJRBG annual plan for fiscal year 21-22. And that really feeds into sub-item B, where we're going to talk through kind of where we are with some of the larger items that are pending. Just to give folks, you know, I want to give everybody an update on the scorecard. Bear in mind that we're still kind of in this beginning phase. There's a lot of work that's been done in terms of reviewing facilities, but we don't have what we need to calendar for this body is an evaluation of the criteria. So we're still developing the criteria, and we need to schedule a review with this body so we make sure that we're not doing any of that stuff in a vacuum. So just by way of update related to the scorecard and these visits, we do have a board report due September 27th. I've just confirmed with two board offices that we are going to get an extension, but it's only 2 weeks. So this may read as a bit of a progress report, depending on how far along we get. But we're hopeful. It seems like things are really moving. So there's visits on Friday to Dorothy Kirby, Barry J, and Los Padrinos, where, again, they're just kind of looking at plumbing and electrical and things like that. There needs to be a review of what DLR, what the architect are going to share, in our understanding, is kind of an ideal program model. So they're going to make a recommendation, but we need to, with the JJRBG and the Youth Justice Work Group, we need to take a look at it, modify, make recommendations to our liking. So again, the plan is to have Andy Couples, who's our architect, come and share with this body kind of what he found in his evaluation, and then we will take some time to go through that and make sure that everyone's in agreement before we push forward. So he needs to complete a review of facility assessment reports. You know, we need to do all that together too. Review each facility, develop summaries of recommended functional and security improvements. We need to look at costs for all of these things, obviously. Prepare initial comparative evaluation and review and confirm with JJRBG. And then we need to sort of make sure that all of us, the main thing here is making sure that we're all on the same page so that when we make a presentation to the board, it's one that everybody has vetted, and we've you know, essentially held a vote that these are the recommendations that are going to go into the plan, and all of that needs to go to the board as well. The other thing that we're in the process of looking at are, you know, and again, I don't want to go too far into this, but with the motion that came yesterday with Campus Kilpatrick, there's an ask to move kids there from other camps potentially, which brings our population down even further. So there was some plan for renovation of some of our East camps. We need to evaluate whether or not those renovations are feasible if in the event, you know, we have so few kids that we may be able to consolidate a camp. So again, there's a lot of moving parts here with this, but I just want to let everyone know that no decisions have been made. Nothing final has like come across from DLR, the architect, and there won't be any movement towards anything or drafts provided to the board without input from this body and the Youth Justice group. So I'll stop. I see Josh has a question. And I can't hear you. I know you clicked on mute, but...
I clicked it and then I re-clicked it. So I muted my unmuting and now I'm unmuted again, hopefully. So a couple of questions. The first was about, just to confirm so I'm understanding, so it sounds like a scorecard of some kind is being developed in sort of like a beta form, and then we will take a look at it and amend before it's applied to any of the facilities. And then the second is, when do we, I guess the first sub question is, do we have a timeline for when we could expect to see that? I mean, just thinking about the urgency of facilities management.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping that we'll get some movement on this by next week so that we have something we can bring and share. I really hope that we can pull that off.
And then I guess this is partly a comment, but I'm also wondering, I mean, I know I was not able to join the BSCC meeting today, but my understanding is that the BSCC voted to find both juvenile halls unsuitable for housing youth. So when I think about how do we evaluate facilities, I mean, one, that just sort of reinforces my concern with it happening internally within the department. I think, you know, there's an opportunity for collaboration here, but two, do you have a sense of how that kind of a decision may affect how we think about other facilities? I don't know logistically what follows from that BSCC finding, but it just seems relevant as we think about the like appropriateness and the feasibility of certain facilities to be able to, you know, deliver the kind of care that everybody is invested in. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or if it's just something we need to come back to.
So I have a lot of thoughts. I mean, we spent many hours today in the hearing. I don't have a sense yet how that decision impacts the rest of this, only to say that, you know, we have 60 days to tighten up the last few things, and it really is a matter of just a couple of things that are left on the list. We were found non-compliant, but I have all the confidence in the world that we will be compliant. And so it has some bearing in terms of, you know, those are the types of things that we may be looking at every facility, right? That we have to maintain compliance with Title 24 and Title 15, for sure, regardless of where we land. But I don't know, you know, again, the goal there is just to get into compliance. Worst case scenario is that we would have to move kids out of one or both facilities, you know, in 60 days time. So that's not the plan. The plan is to get into compliance as soon as possible, and then, you know, the rest of this work kind of just continues forward.
Well, maybe just because that makes sense in terms of compliance, but I mean, to me, what I have always understood, and I say all of us, but maybe I'll just say all of us having our goal to be not obviously just compliance, but, you know, exceptional care for young people. So I, you know, like to be in a position where trying to reach compliance is the goal is obviously, I think, less than the standard that we're all aiming for. So I just want to make sure that when we think about how we're evaluating facilities, right, we are incorporating the values and the vision for something that's greater and more comprehensive. So I guess this is partly a comment and an encouragement to all of us, but also there's just sort of this unique moment that highlights why we are all invested in here to do that, I think.
Yeah, so I think, you know, part of it is that suitability it certainly doesn't depend on just compliance, right? That's not what we're striving for here at all. And I think, you know, we share that sentiment for sure, that we really take to heart. The idea isn't that we just find a facility that's compliant. There's a lot of different components here about how we can really imagine a facility in the way that holds true to what our values are. You know, in our department and what the community wants to see as well. Luis, you have a question? Comment?
More of a comment, which is, look, we're all well-meaning, and I know the process has been frustrating for various reasons without pointing fingers, but the concerns that I keep hearing from my folks on the ground, and then coming off a meeting with Judge Lawson just earlier this week, the frustration is the fact that, you know, keep talking about next steps, but these youth are lingering without the proper services. And we're not able to get services in place or contracts in place until we have more certainty as to where they will be housed. The frustration was that, and I give kudos to probation, that they can't move on a lot of things because contracts can't be in place until we figure out where we're going to be. And Mr. Bettino, I know you talked about certain timelines of getting the scorecard, getting all these things together, but I just want all of us to, you know, we've been looking at things from this atmospheric point of view, but sometimes we don't elevate that importance of the day-to-day issues, which are, okay, what's going to happen when this kid comes before the court, and my public defender is trying to figure out where is she or he going to go? What are the services that are going to be in place? So the frustration is that these youth are lingering. And we're ready to buckle down. We've been ready. We just need to stop talking so much, and just start bearing down and figuring out, okay, these are the next steps. Because I know we're guided by timelines by the Board of Supervisors, but at the end of the day, we're held to a higher standard by the courts. And also by the entities that regulate our licenses to practice law as to how we treat the youth. And I think that should take as much priority as the deadlines that are presented by the board. So, my apologies for sounding preachy, but it's just trying to convey the frustration that our troops are feeling at the ground level, as well as some of your folks in probation as well. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Luis. And we're trying our best to make sure that kids are getting services. They're not the services that we all, again, that we all imagine, right, for this population. They're not, those things are not in place yet, but we're doing the best. And you're right, I mean, part of the biggest challenge here is trying to find this very short-term solution, because we know this population is gonna continue to grow. And so, figuring out what that solution may be is even that short-term solution, and we're finding this. We did get a preliminary report from the architect around just Kilpatrick specifically, and what are the different things that need to go into that to make it just a little bit more secure. We're not talking about serpentine wire or anything like that, but secure enough to where, you know, we feel like, there's light poles that kids can shimmy up to get on roofs and things like that. So we need to address those matters. But even getting to that place, right, as we know in the county, it takes time and it takes assessment and it takes all of these other things. So we're working quickly. But I agree with you. I think this body, I think there's enough of us here who really want to roll up our sleeves and get moving that I'm hoping to see some actionable things move along a little bit more. Any other comments or questions about the scorecard issue? I don't see any. I want to move us to the board response. So we did submit a board response. It's public if folks want to see it. So that was submitted last week, I think. And again, because we haven't been able to vote on key components of the plan, which I'm hoping we'll get to in our next meeting, there are some things that we couldn't really go into great detail about. And this is a segue to the next part of our agenda. I've asked Patricia to help us go through some of the recommendations that were made from the Youth Justice Work Group related to specifically to programming and staffing. And that was some of the substance that was in the last board report. But again, I had a conversation with Labor this week to share this proposal with them. I'm asking for their feedback and some concerns. What I wanted to make clear to them was that this is a complement to some of our existing staff model. We're gonna make some modifications to the staffing model for this population, but the idea, and you'll see this in a moment, really, when we talk about credible messengers, folks with lived experience, it's a complement to the work that our staff are already doing. So I want to raise that part of the problem that we face right now is because we need some concrete feedback from labor before we can move some of this stuff forward. So I just want to share that. Any questions about that board response? Not seeing any. So, Patricia, I'll turn it over to you. If you can share your screen, I don't know if you have access to or not.
I should. Let's I'm trying to share, but I don't think it's showing up. Is it showing up? Not sure that I've been given access.
Jessica, I don't know if you have to share your screen or if I can. Stand by, folks. I apologize.
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out. I think you could share your screen. If not, then it has to be come from our end over here.
So Patricia, if you wouldn't mind sharing the presentation with me, I can share on my end.
Okay.
I'll click us through it.
I'll send it to you right now.
All right, I apologize, folks.
Maybe in the interest of time, as the PowerPoint comes to you, I'll just start, actually, and make sure we're all clear on the context in which we, even some of us as liaisons, really between this group, the JJRBG, and the Youth Justice Advisory Group, were working on, came with a couple of benchmarks that happened, right? So on July 27th, the Board of Supervisors passed a motion related to our work. And in the aftermath of that, one of the directives really called for a collaboration between the Probation Department, the JJRBG, and the Youth Justice Advisory Group. The Youth Justice Advisory Group involves over 100 stakeholders that really work intensely every other week in 7 work groups, two of which were very connected to some of the work that we were discussing. So you'll be able to follow along visually, and it's a lot of information that I won't spend all my time reading to you, but I'm hoping that this presentation is also sent out to you so that you can absorb it and you can even more thoroughly discuss this at our next meeting. So, Adam, I don't know if you've received the PowerPoint at this point.
It looks like it's already up.
Yes, we could see it.
Interesting. So everybody can see it?
I think so.
Okay. I don't see it on my screen.
I see it on mine.
Yeah. Okay. Very strange. Okay, so the first slide just shows, again, the timeline. This group has been really meeting since January, and we submitted an initial set of recommendations in early June, and then the board passed a motion on July 27th, as I noted. We continued to meet. We had a meeting last or 2 weeks ago, where I started to describe some of the work that had happened, and we'll go into in more detail today. But it was really born out of a meeting we had on August 13th, where the JJRBG discussed how it wanted to work with the Youth Justice Advisory Group. So I want to acknowledge that a number of people volunteered to be liaisons and join the Youth Justice Advisory Group and participate in those meetings. There have been at least 4 different meetings to talk about the directives that were connected to the board motion, as well as implicated the Youth Justice Advisory Group. And then just yesterday, the board passed a motion related to some of this work, in part because they are also participating in the Youth Justice Advisory Group. They were privy to some of the recommendations emerging from that space and took some action on some of the substance of those proposals, even ahead of us being able to really thoroughly discuss them. So next slide. You know, just to remind folks, the July 27th motion really had a lot of directives, naming Kilpatrick in particular as the temporary secure youth treatment facility location. And then, you know, the other things that we're talking about here, including the scorecard to conduct this assessment of all the licensed probation facilities. So that's not the substance of today. Next slide. The substance of today really is on this last directive that you see here around programming, staffing, and a continuum of less restrictive options. Again, this is where the JJRBG was instructed to get input from the Youth Justice Transition Advisory Group, the Community Service Providers, Probation Department. All of that is happening. This is the opportunity really for the JJRBG to look at some of the work coming out of the Youth Justice Advisory Group. So next slide. And as I've already noted, the board is moving very quickly, as it should. You know, to Luis, your point, young people, the juvenile court system, defenders, prosecutors are all working in very real time to figure out what is going to be available for young people. So our recommendations today really do focus on implementation at Kilpatrick first, recognizing that there might be a longer timeline. In fact, there is a longer timeline to determine a more permanent site, a more permanent secure youth treatment facility site where young people may reside in lieu of DJJ at the state level. So the motion yesterday did call for a plan to implement a credible messenger mentorship program, as you see under B, facilitated through the Youth Division, Youth Diversion and Development Office of ODR and the Youth Justice Advisory Group to complement a restorative justice pilot that the motion also passed and authorized to be implemented, and to also explore funding for this program, either using unspent JJCPA dollars or existing YDD budget. So next slide. And then just so, you know, the JJRBG understands or can sort of track what's happening at the board level, there were other components of implementation at Kilpatrick. And really, I think the motion is not just about some of the work of the JJRBG. It really recognizes that there's an opportunity as we use Kilpatrick as the temporary secure youth treatment facility site to also improve all around what's going on for young people, including young people there. Right, so the LA model, by many accounts, has been partly implemented but can be better implemented. So much of this motion addresses the opportunity to improve programming, staffing for all young people at Kilpatrick. Next slide. So today, again, is a draft. And I want to really emphasize draft because this is a collaborative space, and the perspectives of this committee and the other stakeholders that the board identified in its directive to consult in thinking about programming, staffing, and a continuum of alternatives should really incorporate that. So this, again, comes out of the Youth Justice Advisory Group, and some those of us who have served as liaisons, myself, Josh Green, Bakila Ochoa, and it will continue to collaborate on the other parts that are we've really just started to think about, including broader programming and a continuum of less restrictive options. Today, the proposal really focuses on Credible Messenger mentoring as an additional staffing and programming and reentry approach. And I should also note that the JJRBG, as it knows too well, has been meeting so intensely, and it heard many presentations from many providers, as well as the expertise of Clinton Lacey, who was the former director of the Department of Youth Rehabilitative Services, the equivalent of juvenile probation in Washington, D.C. He spent many years at the New York Probation Department, and so he's not here today. He's presented to the JJRBG. But next slide. I just want to acknowledge that much of this comes from Clint, and much of this we've heard. So I'll try to just scroll through a lot of this and get to the actual implementation we're thinking the JJRBG should recommend at Kilpatrick. So because I can't see, I'm hoping we're on the slide that says draft proposal implementation at Kilpatrick. So the proposal really is to introduce Credible Messenger's mentoring as a transformative staffing programming and reentry model to overlay existing staff, right? It's not to like take away any staff or their roles necessarily or programs, and some additional landscaping of even what already exists at Campus Kilpatrick is really needed to implement this well. But the plan is to think about also Credible Messengers as more than just programming that comes in for discrete hours of the day or a couple times a week, right? That they would be really system-wide integrated staffing and programming. And that Kilpatrick is obviously a good place to start because it's the temporary security treatment facility. And as I said, it's where the LA model has been started to be implemented. Next slide. And we think that Credible Messengers can achieve the following objectives. And this is what Clint has already gone over with us to some degree, that we think it's an opportunity to benefit young people themselves, of course, to promote their development and healing, that there's opportunity for it to really transform all of what staff do through co-training and collaboration to ensure safety and security within a facility and to transform and increase the efficacy of all practices and programming, and that we think that it can expand, strengthen, and connect the existing work of various community-based organizations who are already doing some version of Credible Messenger work and other types of programming. So there is opportunity to really weave these all together and facilitate cross-pollination and just to really lift up the various strengths of different groups that might be working in one place. So the next slide on theory of change, we've already seen, we've talked through with Clint Lacey, but the real value that he shared with us around Credible Messengers is about their leadership being really rooted indigenously in the community and having successfully navigated their own prior involvement in the justice system. So I won't go over that in detail. Hopefully you'll get this PowerPoint and be able to read in more detail. So the proposal is focused on Kilpatrick, but recognizing that young people, of course, go home at some point, and that there's opportunity in a kind of pilot to really ramp up a whole bunch of capacity for Credible Messenger work. So you'll see as we get to really sort of more operational details that we are imagining in this first cohort or launch of a Credible Messenger pilot, both Credible Messengers at a facility like Kilpatrick and a number that focus on reentry, and then also a cohort that's embedded in the community. So I'm just watching time, so I'm gonna keep going because I think some of this sounds familiar from Mr. Lacey. The next slide talks about components of Credible Messenger's practice, right? And we already saw this again, but just to remind folks that it's really designed to promote healing, development, and restoration. It's intentional, it's systemic, right? So again, it's not just a program, but it's really something system-wide, that there's a long-term commitment, right? So it doesn't end when young people go home, but that there's continuity that's focused on transformative thinking, behavior, and it's built on healthy, trusting relationships. And the next slide, these are some of the credible messenger characteristics, again, the JJRBG has already seen. So I'm going to just kind of get us quickly to the next steps. On this slide, you'll see what we learned that youth engaged in a credible messenger mentoring process would get. So various kinds of programming and mentoring support. The next slide, training for credible messengers, gives you a sense of at least what they do in DC and what we might want to think about for Kilpatrick and other spaces where credible messengers are embedded, that there's a variety of training for them and really for all staff. And then the next two slides on the key roles of credible messengers. And then the next slide on probation and camp staff roles and responsibilities start to delineate, right, who's doing what and then how they collaborate. But again, as we get to some of the next steps, but I'll preview, the idea is to really engage in a collaborative or co-design process to make sure that we adapt, you know, what has been implemented elsewhere to what's already going on in Los Angeles. So if you go to the next slide, relevant structures that may have credible messengers work to build on, we want to recognize, as we heard loud and clear within our work groups in the Youth Justice Advisory Group, I think that we discussed this to some degree in the JJRBG, that there this idea is not new. I mean, we may be labeling it in a certain way, we may be thinking about it in a more expansive way, but there is a lot of work all across this county, even within the probation department. Of course, if this is at Kilpatrick, we want to take stock of what's going on there already to make sure that it's another added layer. Slide 19 sort of just emphasizes that credible messengers is really not work that is imagined to just be in the deepest end inside a facility or, you know, to sort of accompany young people as they go home, but should be really a justice system-wide approach all across the board, right, at the very even beginning of the continuum to prevent young people's involvement in the justice space altogether. All right, so the next slide is finally the scope of work. To get more concrete. So we think to serve young people at Kilpatrick and up to 60 was what was imagined, that we would build a team of 10 full-time integrated credible messengers at the Kilpatrick facility. And then simultaneously, an additional 30 would be trained to also serve young people in the community. And 10 of those would be sort of assigned to work with young people as they re-enter from Kilpatrick. Next slide. The other pieces of the scope of work imagines that some intermediary would be identified and engaged to facilitate an ongoing planning process. Because again, it's, you know, even someone like Clint has said repeatedly across the different spaces he's presented this idea to, that it really has to be adapted to the local landscape, right? So some of these conversations have already taken place with the Office of Violence Prevention, with Urban Peace Institute, with Youth Diversion and Development, the Gang Reduction Youth Development groups, but many should be connected to and thinking about how does this look? How do you even select groups, for instance? So that's bullet number two. I skipped over the first bullet, which is really creating sustainable capacity and infrastructure, right? There needs to be somewhere where this work resides and is coordinated, and we don't really have to actually figure out who that intermediary is. The board in its motion really identified YED as the entity to facilitate a plan and I think to implement some credible messenger pilot. And then the last piece would be to conduct, but really to design and conduct training capacity building with all of the staff at Kilpatrick. And I think this is, I think all these components are really exciting, but part of what's also exciting is that there's so much really robust training happening across this county, and oftentimes it happens in silos. So for instance, even in our initial conversations with the Office of Violence Prevention, there's a lot of interest in figuring out how do you braid together some of these trainings and then really have that broader impact as well. Then the next slide is the implementation steps, really to get input on this set of ideas and to build some consensus around it, to define a scope of work and implementation timeline, which we've started to do, but you know, I think these first two steps are a little bit iterative in the way this body has often worked, the JJRBG has often worked. We delegate, we draft, we bring it back, we get input, and so I think we're going through that right now. There needs to be funding identified for this, and then to actually procure credible messenger providers services to do the trainings and orientations, and then actually to staff them and begin working with young people. And then also to, of course, track and evaluate its impacts. The next slide is a proposed program budget, and I'll extra emphasize here that this is something to just get us started. I would imagine that if there was a co-design process, that it would become much more clear what the costs or the line items might be, but this is just to start us thinking about what it could look like, and really borrows from the experience of Mr. Lacey in Washington, D.C. So we have a draft budget here for 40 credible messengers, an intermediary, a planning team, right, a local planning team, to really design this for L.A. specifically, and it totals close to $4 million. So, sorry, this is so long, and also, again, hope you'll receive this and be able to read it through it. The next two slides, I just want to share that, you know, even since we drafted this and we've continued to edit and incorporate feedback from our various work groups in the Youth Justice Advisory Group, there are many responses and additional questions that people want clarified, right? Further clarification about how credible messengers will work. How do you maintain consistency? How do you make sure the infrastructure really works? So I won't read this. Again, you can read this on your own. But next slide. And there are many challenges anticipated, including, frankly, and I don't know what the details of labor's concerns might be, but we, in the work group spaces, have already imagined that there may be labor issues as well as these others, consistency, infrastructure, shifting a culture, right, to work truly collaboratively, training certification of credible messengers to be able to move in diverse areas of the work group, budget flexibility, political will, so just to name some. Sorry, there's a duplicate slide. I'm almost done.
Patricia, I'm wondering. Sorry, yeah. I'm wondering if we halt.
Okay.
And save reentry for another conversation, because I imagine there's going to be some reaction to what you've already shared. I want to make sure that we.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Okay, this is really great. I really appreciate you pulling all this together. We will share this with you all. Following the meeting. Jessica, can you make a note to make sure this goes out? Again, this is very draft, but a lot of thought went into it with the Youth Justice Advisory Group, as well as some others on this subcommittee. So so we'll go forward that way. But I will stop sharing my screen because I can't see anybody. And anybody from the subcommittee have questions, comments, reactions based on what you just saw? Nothing?
I'll speak up. I want to thank Patricia for all the hard work in putting this together. It's a great summary, a great overview of where we need to go. So, thank you, Patricia.
Thanks. And Ms. Forbes, you have your hand up?
I was going to ditto everything that Louise just shared. Thank you, Patricia, for putting this information together. I'm excited about the possibility of credible messengers. I think this will be a big step towards the goal of really supporting our youth in Los Angeles County. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Any other comments, questions?
This is Karen. I'm not sure how to put my hand up on WebEx, so sorry about that. It just raises a question for me, and I love all this stuff. It was great, and thank you. I can see it was a tremendous amount of work, both for you and for the advisory committee. It just brings a question to my mind about how, when these youth are at Kilpatrick, you know, I think 60 youth is, I'm still struggling with how does Kilpatrick, you know, still serve the kids that it's serving and these youth, and I'm sorry, I'm just struggling a bit with that. It's nothing related to this specifically, but it just brings up that issue for me. So I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, that's helpful feedback, Karen. Thank you. And I don't want to answer it with we don't know yet, but I do think that there's a component of it that I think we, you know, the beauty of Kilpatrick in my mind is that we can leverage the strengths that exist. And some of the things that I really like in the proposal, we're about to undergo, you know, 2-week blocks of training for our detention staff related to some DOJ findings, as well as our plan to phase out OC spray. And a lot of the training that is highlighted here is also highlighted there. And one of the things that we've struggled with historically is like consistency, same messaging in our training and our professional development, so that our staff are getting, you know, a regular kind of dosage of these things. And this is really where we want to head with more trauma-informed, creating a more trauma-informed system of care and all of the things that are called out around restorative justice and adolescent development and things like that. So that to me is exciting because it builds into some consistency that we've historically struggled with. And I think programmatically, Karen, there's ways that I know this body will determine how to be creative and how we provide, you know, equal quality of services to both populations that may be residing in the same spot. Mr. Dunn, did you have a question?
I just wanted to comment and thank Patricia very much for her presentation. As a lot of time and energy went into that, and I certainly appreciate your effort. And I'm sure that Josh was right in there with you on the committee, and thank both of you for representing us. I did have kind of one question, and that is just what is the sense of urgency for our credible messengers in getting started on that?
Well, I think it goes back to concern that Luis raised, where we have these kids now, you know, we need to get moving on this ASAP. So we have 8, at last count, unless there's more that I'm not aware of, and then another 50 pending. So this population is going to continue to swell, and we need to move quickly, as quickly as possible. You know, we have the sort of the nudge that the board has provided us now through these motions, and so we need to move pretty quickly. And just to share, I would like us to get to a place where we can potentially, and I'm not quite sure what's appropriate procedurally or not, but I'm hoping by our next meeting we may be able to vote on some of the things that are included here and sort of just move forward and making some decisions about which parts of this are we going to be including in the actual plan. So that'll help move us along too, I hope, because I know that that's a step that we need to go through.
Well, I was wondering, you know, do we have 25 credible messengers available, and then how do we, where are the trainers to train them so that they can get started?
So if I could just jump in,
yeah.
To note two things, you know, one, the charge in our collaboration with the Youth Justice Advisory Group was, of course, much broader than just thinking about Kilpatrick. Right. It was thinking about programmatic staffing and, you know, even alternatives, less restrictive alternatives to serve all young people in lieu of TJJ, but recognizing the urgency, recognizing that young people are already being dispositioned to the secure track and that Kilpatrick is that temporary site. That's why our proposal is so focused on, and with very, you know, real numbers and projected budgets to think about implementation as immediate as possible, as soon as possible. And then the motion yesterday from the board really charges YDD, the probation department, and us to work immediately on fleshing this out even further and identifying actual funds to get this off the ground. So as fast as this county can work is what I would say.
Indeed. Well,
that's the real answer.
Hats off to you. Thank you.
Thanks. Josh?
Okay, hi. So thank you, Patricia, for all the work. I have one kid crying in another room, so I'm going to make this brief. But to your point, Adam, about procedurally, I mean, one thing that I think might be helpful is if, I mean, if there are others who would like to support, but I often find it's most helpful to bring motion language to the body that can then be discussed, hopefully just adopted, but if it needs to be discussed and modified. So perhaps between now and the next meeting, I mean, I know Patricia, you've taken a lead. I'm also happy to contribute, but perhaps codifying some of this in a motion that then we can all react to. It's very hard to draft in these meetings. So maybe just as a next step, we can move that forward together. And then I think, yeah, I agree with you that figuring out what I understand our task to be is to provide guidance to the county as they try to figure out how to move these things forward in the longer term vision. So this, I think, would be a great opportunity for us to at least endorse pieces of an overall plan.
Yeah, I think that's wise, Josh. And I think that'll help us move forward. I don't know at this stage, Jessica, help me. Do I need to ask for a motion to draft a motion for the next meeting, or do we just ask volunteers to draft something and then we'll bring it to the meeting prepared to vote on for next time? I think that sounds more appropriate. So if somebody wants to help us draft some language and share it with Jessica and I, and then we'll make sure that it gets it's on the agenda for next time. Does that sound like that works?
Yeah, Adam, I do want to make an announcement real quick. Just for the record, our district attorney's office, Ms. Blair, and Department of Public Social Services also joined the meeting, so thank you. And there is one announcement that Sharon Hawkins needs to make, so she's going to be taking a minute to do something. She's going to
Okay. Sharon? We're not hearing you, Sharon, if you're speaking.
Yeah, we're going to request her to unmute herself. Okay, we're going to try to get a hold of her. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So I think where we landed is folks can share some language with us, and we may need to do some things behind the scene, and then potentially bring a motion next time. And again, that can be that'll be shared publicly, and if it carries, it carries. But I don't see any harm in kind of kicking around some language between now and next meeting, and it keeps us on task. So I do want to, in the interest of time, I don't know, Jessica, if we had any public comment on item 4. There was a lot that was discussed, but I don't know if we had any public comment there.
So we will get the caller. Joy Ori. And how much time would you like to give her?
I'm sorry, how many folks in public comment?
One.
Just one? 2 minutes is good. We're running short on time. I apologize.
Ms. Ori, as soon as you begin, we'll start the time.
Okay, thank you. My name is Joy Ori. I reside nearby Camp Scott in Scudder. I can't stress enough to your subcommittee that residents nearby these camps are equally as important. Placing serious offenders at Camps Scott and Scudder proposes a significant deviation from the former use of these facilities. I request that the site visit scorecards that you're working on include reasonable factors such as those identified in my submitted written comments that have already been acknowledged by your staff. The site visit to Camp Scott and Scudder should include representation from both the City of Santa Clarita and the local sheriff, with appropriate local representation for the other sites as well. The opportunity for your committee to conduct outreach with local residents is now. This would serve as part of assessing, evaluating, and formulating the permanent site recommendation for submittal to the Board of Supervisors. As residents of the County of Los Angeles, of the City of Santa Clarita, we expect due diligence throughout the process. Thank you.
Okay, and I will be emailing the committee members the written comments.
Thank you, Ms. Ori. We appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts with us. Okay, I'm going to move us on to item number 5, other matters and general public comment. One of the things that I wanted to propose or share with the group, I suppose, is the way that we've been moving through the agenda, frankly, has been a little bit one-sided. Probation is mostly establishing the agenda. We'd like to create a better feedback loop with the Youth Justice Work Group. We know that there is some work that's going on in those subcommittees. Subcommittees, maybe not the right word, but I know that there's some work going on out there. So if there are agenda items that the committee would like to raise or the subcommittee would like to raise, please send those to Jessica and myself so that we're aware and that we're making sure that we're going through the things that we know we need to go through for this group. So that's one part of it. The other part is more of just a general comment on process. You know, thank you for bearing with me. I think this is my second meeting. Trying really hard to make sure that we're staying on task and we're working through quickly, which is so, so important, because we have some really hard and fast deadlines to accomplish with the board. But again, going back to Luis's point, what's even more important, obviously, is that we have these young people who do need these services and they would so benefit from a plan, a robust plan that we're in the process of developing. So I want to make sure that we're staying on task and being mindful of the deadlines. So to that end, I'd like to schedule our next meeting for Friday the 24th, preferably in the morning, because nobody likes Friday afternoon meetings. So if that works for other folks, I want to hear from you if it absolutely doesn't work to do Friday morning, but I want to make sure that we're continuing to calendar these meetings, because at least by way of pushing us along, so that we can start to get some of these services and supports in place. So is anybody totally opposed and you know, can't make a Friday morning meeting? So that would be September 24th. Hearing nothing, is there any public comment on agenda item 5, Jessica?
No, there's not. I'm sorry, the PowerPoint will be posted on the website, so it'll be accessible to everybody.
Thanks, Jessica. Mr. Dutton, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a conflict myself. I'm on the County Board of Education, and we're having our at 10 o'clock on Friday the 24th, our annual Teacher of the Year luncheon at the Hilton Universal City. So I have a conflict.
Okay. Does anybody else have a conflict? Unfortunately, I have a conflict on the 23rd. Let's see here. So I think we'll proceed with the 24th, Mr. Dutt.
I understand. I just wanted to let you know that I wouldn't be able to be a part of that meeting.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Any other comments or questions before we adjourn? Okay. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Move, Michael Dutton.
I'll second.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate everybody, your input and your feedback. It's very valuable. And Patricia, Bakila, Josh, thank you for all your hard work on the presentation. Patricia, thank you for guiding us through that. Super helpful. So I'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
One quick notice. There were 15 written comments for item number 5, and those will be sent to the members shortly.
Thanks, Jessica.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.